This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
All right. Jerome Powell, by the way, the Fed chair, has COVID-19, mild symptoms. All right, there you go. That's what you get for raising the rates too quickly. Anyway, welcome. Hey, how you doing, Matt? You doing all right? You feeling good?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Can't complain. Are you a wrestling guy, by the way, at all?
No, I am not. I couldn't tell you anything about wrestling.
Yeah. So then your analysis would be just as exceptional as mine.
Yes.
So that's actually a good thing. All right, let's get into it. First of all, don't know if you saw the press conference Greer and Mike McDaniel had yesterday. They're all on board. And one of the things that the Dolphins are in a catch-22, right? Because it's funny when people say, oh, no, let's go get another quarterback. Okay, who are you going to get? Like, who's definitely an upgrade? Over? I get it that you might be concerned about his, you know, injury history.
Right.
You might be concerned of the concussion thing that, you know, popped up this year with a couple of concussions. I get all of that. I totally understand you're frustrated after the last 25 years since Marino. You haven't had a quarterback, but he is the number one rated passer in the NFL. And so outside of literally getting Aaron Rodgers, who else could you possibly get out there that you would say, okay, let's get him. Upgrade will win more for sure. Who is that?
I mean,
it's tough, right?
I mean, I guess it depends. Like, do you want Tom Brady?
No, that's another subject we'll get into. I mean, for me, Father Time's knocking, bro. You want to answer the bell? You go ahead, bro. It's up to you. We'll get into that conversation because to me, that's what's happening. But Tom Brady would be the other one. I don't know if you think that that's the, you know, to me, yeah. But
I would not do that if I was Miami. Look, he may have another year or two in him. I don't know. He may not. But if you're the Dolphins, like, you want to try to be able to sustain something for the next decade. I mean, going out and getting Tom Brady is doing what exactly? Like, then you're going to move to a, and you're going to have Brady for 1 or 2 years. And what happens if you don't win in that time period? Then what? Then where are you going with this team? As Hill then is 30 years old. And Waddle becomes insanely expensive too. Like, if I'm the Dolphins, I get it's a tough spot. But if they think Tua is going to come back medically, then I think that's your quarterback. And that's who you're playing with. I think you've got to go that route. Now, if he comes back next year and he gets hurt again, then you're probably looking at a decision.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to go to him. As long as you think he can play next year, I think that Tua is your quarterback.
Yeah, it's not like, what are you going to do? Garoppolo? He misses more games than Tua.
No, he.
Derek Carr? Tua's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. I'm sorry. I just feel that right now. If I'm watching Tua, I'd rather have Tua. I'd rather take my chances, you know, at this moment. And so then what else are you going to get that's going to be available? There really isn't anything out there. Now, here's the part B of that question. So you have three of the top 100 picks. So you got a couple there in the third and second rounds. Do you explore a young quarterback again besides Skylar Thompson? Or do you go get the Joe Flacco, the Andy Dalton, the Gardner Minshew, the Taylor Henneke, you know, do you go get that backup instead behind Tua just in case? So it's one of those guys that at least with that offense, you can kind of keep things afloat at least.
I'd probably go get a veteran. I mean, I just think if you're the Dolphins, you need those other picks to build up the defense, to continue to work on the offensive line. If those picks are too valuable. I know the Eagles did it with Jalen Hurts. I get it. But the odds that you're going to be able to replicate that are pretty low. I think most quarterbacks that are worth playing for a long period of time, most of them are first-round picks. So if I'm Miami, I'm trying to build around this current team. This team with Tua was very successful this year. They won a lot of football games. And I think after watching that playoff game, if they had had Tua, I'm pretty sure they would have won that game. So I realistically, I would use every one of their picks to build the defense, to build the offensive line. I think they're too valuable to go out and use on a backup quarterback when there are a lot of quarterbacks out there. For a backup, go sign Matt Ryan. Like Matt Ryan as a backup quarterback, like go sign him. Go sign Sam Darnold.
I like Minshew. I like Minshew.
Minshew's good.
The thing about Miami's backup situation that becomes super sexy. Okay, one, you're a no tax state. Two, you got a great offense because, okay, you know, shit, man. If they got weapons there, I'm going to be able to put up stats. And then three, the reality is the quarterback has missed, games every year. So I'm going to get playing time. When I get playing time, I'm going to have players that I can really showcase my skill set. Plus, the money I'm making, it's also no state taxes. So I get a break there also. It becomes a really sexy backup situation also for the Dolphins, which is the slight positive to the negative of having Tua being injury prone.
Teams would definitely have a hard time competing with Miami at that spot because of everything you just said. I mean, realistically, if you're a backup, of course you'd want to go there. Of course you would. So, I think if you're the Dolphins, you want a veteran who you feel like can come in and play. I mean, because frankly, yeah, history does say that you may need him to play. I think you can upgrade from Teddy Bridgewater and from Skylar Thompson. And if you're the Dolphins, that's worth some cap space. That's worth the financial investment because let's face it, that might be the difference in your season if you need a guy for two games, three games, whatever the case may be.
I'm with you there. All right. The next question has to be Tom Brady. I think throughout the season, he was kind of showing it personally for me. Evans. I mean, he could not be on the same page with the guy. I think
it was rough.
Yeah. I think Father Time is catching up. In fact, I was telling the Dolphin Nation, those of you that wanted Tom Brady last year, the owner would have ended up trading for an owner, not for a real player in the end, because he would have, it doesn't look good. I'll move up to the owner's box with you and I'll move on with my life. That's probably what would have happened here. But if I'm Tom Brady, I saw Muhammad Ali and I've watched guys that were over the hill, Sugar Ray Leonard. I've watched guys over the hill. Everybody knows about Joe Namath in a Rams uniform and Willie Mays in a Mets uniform and all that stuff and guys that just hang on too long. And to me, this is what is about to happen to Tom Brady. If I'm Tom Brady, brother, you just got to know when to hold him and when to fold him. And it is time to fold him. What are your thoughts on Tom Brady?
I tend to agree. I think you've reached a point here where the other part of it too, and look, who am I or anybody to tell this guy when to retire? It's his life. But I mean, at some point too, it's like, what is there left to prove? I mean, go home, man. Like, go home, enjoy your life. You know, you got this Fox gig waiting for you where you're going to make even more money. I just don't understand if you're Brady, like, what? So you can go play for the Raiders next year? And then what is the end game? To get your teeth kicked in the AFC? They're not winning that division. Like, I don't see what the point is. Like, other than just, hey, listen, I love the game and I want to play the game. Okay, fine. Other than that, I don't see the point. I don't think, my whole thing this year was, well, if you went to San Francisco, but with the way Purdy's playing, I don't think he's going to San Francisco. So if he doesn't go there, where are you going? I think the Raiders are the team that everybody feels like, well, that's where he'd go. They have no defense. They have no offensive line. That team is not going to be a threat in the AFC. They're not. And at some point, too. Hey,
bro, first they have to get out of the AFC West.
That's what I'm saying.
Through the AFC.
None.
I mean, no shot. The AFC. They got no shot at getting out of their own damn division, dude.
No. the Kansas City would baptize that team twice. They're not Brady or no Brady. It's not going to matter. Like I just look at Brady and it's like, you're 46 years old come August. I mean, and watching that playoff game, now listen, they stunk. He had no chance. Yeah, but
I get it.
One thing I think it is fair is he just did not want to get hit. I mean, at all. That ball was out of his hands immediately. That reminded me of Peyton Manning at the very end of his career. And I know you can say, well, hey, he won a Super Bowl at the end. Peyton Manning was awful that year. They won the Super Bowl in spite of Peyton Manning that year.
He's the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl.
I'm not even clear. He was brutal. I mean, Denver winning that Super Bowl with Manning is one of the great feats of all time.
Big time.
That team, he was horrific. The only thing I'll give him is that year in the playoffs, he didn't turn the ball over, which he did all regular season. But he was terrible. And unlike that situation, Brady's not going to that situation. The Raiders can't stop anybody. So I just think it's time probably to say, you know what? I've done all I can. Had a great career. I'm ready to move on. But I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to play again.
Yeah. If he does, I think it's just going to be a monster mistake on his part. And I've seen this story before. You want to hang on, you hang on. But, brother, once you won that championship in Tampa, you should have walked away. But I get it. You had a two-year contract. After that second year, you walk away. You gave up your family for all of this, dude. Like, that's the part I really don't – that's the part that I can't understand. You've got to be kicking yourself in the ass for this. And I get it, he's got this nice little young babe. What's her name? Veronica Radjic, obviously. And she already came out and said, well, he can't play every position and all that. So she's already doing the trashing. All right, what's the prediction for you now? Sean Payton. The New Orleans Saints need some draft picks. They're gonna make a trade. There are teams that are interested in Sean Payton. Denver, Arizona, and Carolina. Two-part question. One, where do you think he's going to go? Two, where do you think he should go?
The word around the league is that Denver is the leader in the clubhouse, and I think a lot of it is Walton money, right? I'm going to be honest with you, and I might end up eating a lot of crow on this one. I think that is an awful idea. I really do. Like,
why do you think I asked you in two part? Because I kind of know you already.
I just don't get it. Like, and for everyone who's like, the money. First of all, he's getting paid by the Saints and by Fox. The money is not
and by whoever hires him new will pay him the same shit.
It's not like Denver's going to offer him $40 million a year. Like the Denver will pay him a ton of money, but he's getting paid a ton of money now. Like, it's not like financially Sean Payton's in a box. Like, he's fine. So I don't get it. Russell Wilson, like, even if you're Sean Payton, you're like, look, I can get Russell Wilson back to being a top 12 guy in the league. They had two Pro Bowlers this year. That's a terrible roster. And then you're going to give up your first-round pick that you got for Chubb on top of that. Like,
At least a first round.
I think it's probably also going to be like a third or fourth-round pick. And then on top of that, you're in a division with Mahomes and Herbert. Like, I do not understand the thought process there. Now, if I were him, if I'm going to take a job in this cycle, I'd go to Carolina. Now, I don't know if the Saints traded to Carolina. Maybe they would, but I think that's the best spot. That's a team with a lot of young talent. You have a high pick. You could get a quarterback. That division is atrocious. I mean, if you win 9 games next year, you're winning the division. If I'm Sean Payton, that is absolutely where I'd rather go, or where I think he should go.
Can I give you one that's not on the list, but he interviewed with them?
Houston. I'm with you. That's a much better
job. They have extra picks.
Yep.
But when they give up a first rounder, they still have a first rounder.
Yep. I think that's a better job.
He can go pick his own quarterback.
Yep.
Anybody he wants. The owner's got money. So he's going to get paid either way. It's not about money. For me, it would be about control. You're in an easier division. also. So it's not like the Houston Texans have this division that's a world beater. So you've got all of that. I think you got a bunch of picks. Actually, they've got some players on that team already, a couple, not a lot, because they've unloaded a bunch. You got your left tackle at least to help you build up for your quarterback, you know. So I think Houston is the one, because my problem with all of this is Arizona, I cannot deal with Kyler Murray. Okay. Even, and I got to say, I was wrong because I like Kyler Murray. I thought he had it to be a passer in this league. I was actually concerned about his durability, but my God, he's so quick. You can't get a shot on him. So that part, actually, I was wrong in, but I never knew about his immaturity issues. And I don't know if he's going to reach him. You and I agree on Denver. Like, you're going to go there to have to deal with Russell for the next year or two to try to repair the back end of his career. That's weird. Carolina also doesn't have now it's not a world beater of a division, but they don't have a quarterback in place, but they have the same kind of resources that Houston has with all the extra picks. And that's where I kind of look at it. And I say, I kind of like the Houston situation out of all of them. And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm actually picking Houston out of all these teams that are out there.
If I was Sean Payton, what I would really do, but I didn't say this because it wasn't an option, I'd just sit out another year. I don't think any of these jobs are great jobs, and I would just sit out. But I don't know if he's going to do that. One thing I thought was interesting, Peter Schrager, maybe other people reported this too, the Denver meeting was in Los Angeles. Like, he didn't even go to Denver. They just came to him. They were like, all right, we'll all fly out. I mean, how serious are you about the job, right? I mean, if you won't even go to Denver, like, what? How long of a flight is that?
Well, maybe they didn't want the circus in Denver. So they went to a location in Los Angeles and nobody could follow them instead. But if you bring them to the facility, then you've got all the media hanging out and helicopters and all that kind of stuff, like what we did with Peyton Manning here. When he came to visit, we had helicopters, you know, following him throughout South Florida. So that's kind of maybe. I'm just throwing that out there I'm sure you know about this. It might be one of the most fanatical fan bases and media coverage of a football team. Denver does an exceptional job. Like, Denver fans get a lot of great coverage of their Broncos.
They do. You know, it's funny. I will say, we're talking about him potentially going to Denver. If you know anything about Sean Payton, if you know Sean Payton a little bit, can you imagine him coaching Russell Wilson?
No, that's my problem.
I mean, we're one let's ride Kyler away.
Murray. Can you imagine him trying to deal with Kyler Murray and Kyler Murray screaming at him?
Oh, God, no.
Oh,
no.
My God.
Sean Payton would get into a fist fight with Kyler Murray, I think, about in August. But that's my point. Can you imagine, you know, Russell Wilson having the start of the year that he had this past year and him doing, you know, let's ride on the sideline? I mean, Sean Payton, I think, would go after him. Like, I can't even imagine that situation. Because you've got to think about Russell Wilson's career. He's had Pete Carroll, who's an excellent coach, but he's much more of a college guy, a rah-rah type of personality, right? Kind of a cheerleader. Nathaniel Hackett, excuse me, as my wife's calling me. Nathaniel Hackett, very much like – he very happy-go-lucky type guy. Sean Payton will go berserk like a quarter into the first game. I cannot imagine a world where if Russell Wilson doesn't dramatically improve immediately, that Sean Payton's like, yeah, that's great. Do high knees in the plane. Like, he would have needed to play his backup quarterback that game. Like, I can't imagine that scenario. So, I don't know. It's just a weird combination having him and Russell Wilson together, but might happen.
Yeah, I think if you're him, you get a fresh start in Houston, bro. And you just, you know, although I will say this, the Panthers pick, you're right. That's out of those three, the Panthers are the best one because they've got some talent on defense. They've got some weapons on offense. If you figure out the stinking quarterback position, you're competing right away in Carolina.
I mean, They have real talent. Like, they're not – I'm not sitting here saying they're a Super Bowl team, but, like
– No, I get what you're saying.
Talent on that
team. There's a foundation in there. There's a foundation in there.
And, by the way, Tepper has as much money as Walton does. Like, that man's not hurting for money, okay? He paid Matt Rhule $60 million, and after half of the contract, was like, get out. So he has money.
Yeah.
I just think if you're Peyton, if you look at those two situations, if you can't fix Russell Wilson, you're screwed. You are screwed. There is no way around it. You go to Carolina, the division's a joke. You can get a young quarterback. You have a couple of years, and you're not dealing with Mahomes, where if you don't win 14 games every year, you have no shot to win the division.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of like all those years when Manning was with the Colts at the peak of his powers. Who the hell wanted the Texans' job? Who was like, I'll take him on. Good luck with that. You're right. About to be a 5 seed at best in the playoffs every year, and you're going to get knocked out in the first round. I think if you're Sean Payton, like, that's what you're dealing with. That's where you're going. I just don't think it's a very attractive job right now.
By the way, speaking of Tepper, which is a great segue to the next question, the NFL has done a marvelous job over the last few years that every time they've allowed a new owner in, it's an owner that's got incredibly deep pockets.
Yes.
So now let's go to the reverse. Owners that they have inherited since the days, and that's over in the Chargers. Cheap.
Yes.
I would, and I'm sure Chiefs fans were like super happy that the Chargers were too cheap to fire their head coach, but went and fired their assistants. So your thoughts on keeping Staley and firing Lombardi and Will Hoyt or something, the linebackers coach or something?
I think the prayer circle from the other AFC West teams worked, and Brendan Staley's still involved. Listen, I'm not saying Joe Lombardi didn't deserve to get fired. Joe Lombardi was a terrible offensive coordinator. That's fine. Fair enough. But I've seen a lot of people already like, well, you know, now the Chargers, now they've done that, they're on the path. They're not on the path to anything. Their head coach is the one who played their starters week 18 like a fool and got Mike Williams hurt. He's the one who runs the defense that gave up 31 points in 31 minutes to Jacksonville. Okay. He is the one who, after Herbert hurt his ribs, fractured his ribs week 2 against the Chiefs, then played in the following week when they were down 28 points in the fourth quarter. Like, Brendan Staley's that guy. It's not Joe Lombardi. Joe Lombardi had nothing to do with any of that stuff. And so I sit here and I'm like, yeah, you listen, you might get a little better offensively depending on who you bring in. Although let's also remember that Joe Lombardi was Brendan Staley's choice. He did not inherit him. So I always believe when you start firing coordinators, that's a precursor to you being gone real soon. I think Brendan Staley's got 1 year left there, because this was supposed to be the year the Chargers caught up to the Chiefs and passed them. They went out and got Khalil Mack. They went out and got J.C. Jackson and Kyle Van Noy and Bryce Callahan. Like, they went out and loaded that team up while the Chiefs were losing Tyreek Hill and Tre'Davious Ward and Tyrann Mathieu. And that division was over by Thanksgiving. So now you are over the cap. You're going to have to actually weaken this roster. The Chiefs have $70 million in cap space if they want it and 10 draft picks. They're not catching Kansas City next year, not without injuries. So to me, I think they've got one more year of this. And I just don't see a path that they're getting much better. Unless they bring in just an all-time whiz on the offensive side of the ball, I think they just kind of are what they are at this point, which is a talented team, but a flawed one with a bad head coach.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's just hilarious to see. But again, this is part of cheapness too.
Well, they don't want to cut the check. They don't want to pay Staley, and they don't want to pay his replacement.
Yeah, and by the way, I would also worry with that. Just to kind of bring it full circle, if I am Peyton with Arizona, the Bidwell family has always had some kind of a reputation that they aren't necessarily always willing to go all the way. And in football, if you don't have ownership group, as we see with the Spanos family, right, that if you don't have the ownership group that is willing to go all the way, brother, that's going to be a problem for you. Look, eventually they got this window now with Herbert. Eventually they're going to have to pay him, and you know how they are. That's going to limit them in other areas, you know, because of that. By the way, what did you think of that choke job that you had that kind of a lead? And sure, the defense gave up all those points, but your offense also could not muster anything out of it. And that, to me, kind of an indictment also on them.
Yeah, look, everything about that was an indictment on them. I mean, you're up 27-0. You're plus 5 in the turnover ratio. You can't win that game.
You can't lose that game. There's no way you lose a game like that at all.
The biggest shock for me of that game was not even that the Chargers lost. I honestly can say I sat there the entire game. I never thought about flipping it off. I'm like, this is the Chargers. They absolutely could lose this game. The biggest shock to me was, how do you lose that game and not even turn the ball over? Like, normally if you blow a lead of that proportion,
right,
you give up a special teams touchdown, you turn the ball over, it's short field. It was none of that. Jacksonville just dinked and dunked their way, save for one blown coverage where they threw like a 40-yard touchdown pass. It was, I mean, was there one throw in that game by Trevor Lawrence that you were like, wow, he really made a huge play there? He never had to. He just dinked and dunked all the way down the field, and the Chargers just let him do it to the tune of 31 points. Like, it was staggering. It was one of the most ridiculous. And then Joey Bosa is just taking one personal foul after that. I mean, it was the most ridiculous game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
To me, in my life, now I know of it. I'm very, very aware of it. I was like 4 years old when the Oilers lost that game to the Bills.
Oh, yeah. I was there. That's all.
I did live through the Chiefs blowing a 28-point lead to the Colts. Yeah, I was very much there for that game. But I got to tell you, as bad as that was, I think the Chargers game is worse for one reason. If you go back and look at that Chiefs game, the Chiefs had so many injuries during that game. They had like fourth string guys playing. And it's not an excuse. Should have won the game. I'm not saying like they shouldn't have won.
Yeah, I get it.
There was at least like, you're like, I kind of get what's happening. The Chargers, like, what happened? Like,
right.
My God, you, and also like Jacksonville, geez, listen, with all due respect to Jacksonville, you couldn't beat that team. Like, you couldn't hold on to a 27-point lead and one Pro Bowler.
Although I got to tell you, kudos to Lawrence, shows you the moxie that he does have.
No doubt.
How many guys would go right into the tank at four interceptions? Like, a nothing's going on. I mean, one of those interceptions, Samuel just mugs the player and then gets the interception. They get a freebie field goal out of that. You know what I'm saying? And so that one, like, okay, not only did I make some bad decisions, but then they're even missing obvious calls for me too. And yet he didn't go in the tank. And I give him a lot of credit for the mental toughness to stay in it.
No, I completely am with you on. Like that, after he threw his fourth pick, I actually thought to myself briefly and then dismissed it, would they yank him out of this game? But then it's like, but then what do you do, right? And he's your future. So you got to just kind of ride him. That's why I was like, well, they wouldn't do that. I'm with you. That was the most impressive part of the game to me, was that Lawrence kept his wits about him and kept going. Right, I mean, because you're right. There are a lot of guys with that point are just cooked, and they're done.
And the receivers were dropping passes. They were making mistakes in the first half. They all, to their credit too, they all started catching the ball and making plays too. They stepped up also, because it wasn't just Lawrence with a couple mistakes and the referee with a bad miss, but the other guys too were dropping passes and were making plays. So credit to all those guys, man. Evan Ingram, who has completely turned his career around there. Yep. Zay Jones, really solid. I really like him because he catches everything, you know, with his hands. When he's not running naked through buildings and going through glasses, you know, he's doing pretty good on the field. I don't think a lot of people remember that anymore.
No, I remember. 82 catches this year. He's had a hell of a year. He's had a nice season.
Yeah. And by the way, losing to that Oilers team that came back on him, That warm moon with those four receivers, that was a nasty offense in those days.
Great offense.
Yeah, so it was just one of – and Moon also was just a fantastic gunslinger, dude. He could pile up points quickly, man. He's just one of those underrated Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
If you can see that. You know what I'm saying? If you could call a Hall of Famer underrated – that's what I would call Warren Moon, because I don't think he gets enough credit for how good that dude was, bro.
He was incredible. I interviewed him for a story actually last offseason and got to know Warren a little bit. And A, couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more helpful. And B, like, yeah, just, I mean, if you go back and look at his numbers, if that guy played today in the day, and I mean, oh my God, a 5,000
yard season at 40 or 41 in Seattle, like,
he went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, like what the F, dude? Like, do you ever age?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, wow. But now he was also physically, he was always well taken care of. You know what I mean? And he was a pure pocket passer. Because you would look at him and you say, oh, he looks at, oh, he's going to run around. Nah, Warren Moon ain't going to run around, bro. Warren Moon will, you know, will scramble back there a little bit to go to wait for a guy, but he's not going to go out and get 10, 15 yards for you every other, you know, three or four downs. No, that's not what he does. He'll beat you right from the pocket. And
Warren Moon, in an age when, like, if you threw for 3,500 yards, it was a lot of yardage. In 1990 and 1991, he was 34 and 35, threw for over 9,300 combined yards. Like, 4,689 and 4,690, which led the league, by the way, both years. No, he was – and in 97 with Seattle, he was 41-year-old Pro Bowler. He made the Pro Bowl from ages 32 through 39 every year, and then at 41 made the Pro Bowl on a Seattle team, by the way, that was nothing to write home about.
Right.
Think about if he didn't have to waste 5 years up in Canada, right? Because the NFL wouldn't give him a shot as a quarterback. The guy threw 291 touchdown passes and had 50,000 passing yards and didn't play the first 5 years of his career because of where he had to. I mean, he would have easily thrown for close to 400 touchdowns, if not 400 touchdowns, and probably, I mean, roughly 70,000 yards in an age when the only guys approaching those kind of numbers were Marino. You know, and then eventually, you know, I don't even know if Montana and Elway, I guess longevity helped them, but really Montana and Elway even weren't putting up the statistics that Marino was from a pure passing standpoint.
Yeah. Well, how many touchdowns did he throw in that 40 when he was 41 in Seattle?
25. Not bad. Not bad.
I know. No, he had a hell of a year, bro. It was just one of those things like that guy is just absolutely amazing. All right. Tell him about Stacking the Box, my man.
Yeah. Every Tuesday at noon Eastern, you can check it out on YouTube. You can go there and subscribe and like the video. If you liked it, that'd be great. Otherwise, you can just go find it wherever you find your podcast. You can download it there. And if you leave a 5-star rating and a review and you leave a question in the review, we will answer it on the podcast. So go ahead and do that. Other than that, you can check out the written version of Stacking the Box, my weekly column Monday morning. It will be recapping all of the divisional round madness, which I think probably is coming. So go ahead, check that out. Follow me on Twitter, and hope to see you there.
That's right. Twitter at Matt Verderam. Matt, we'll catch up next week, my friend. Enjoy the playoff football.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Matt Verderam. We step out of the huddle.